Hey guys, welcome back. For those of you tuning in, I really appreciate the listens and downloads and comments the last couple weeks. So for this week in the podcast, I wanted to do a little bit of a deeper dive into my personal story that I shared in my newsletter several weeks ago. So I talked a little bit about the path to where I am now and some of the things that I had to change, the systems that I had to create around that path, and hopefully some of this stuff will help you guys out a little bit. So for those of you who don't know much about me, I was a chemist and I studied chemistry and math in college. So I worked in an atmospheric chem lab for a little bit. I didn't really like the research side of things, but it did teach me an awful lot about how to approach experiments, how to approach things that you don't know, how to question everything, which has served me well. But while I was finishing up college and still working in a lab, I met the owner of now Invictus Boston, at the time Reebok CrossFit Back Bay, Josh Plosker. And so I helped him open that gym and was the first full-time coach there. And I'm still there in some capacity, but I spent many years coaching. And that allowed me to pursue a separate goal of mine, which was to compete at the CrossFit Games. So I trained for a very long time to prepare and pursue this goal. I was able to eventually compete at the CrossFit Games on a team for our gym in 2016. And then I also got drafted as a professional CrossFit athlete or professional exerciser in what was then called the National Grid League, the NPGL, which was essentially a kind of high-paced, team-based CrossFit that was meant to be a little bit more viewer-friendly. And so I had accomplished this long-standing goal of mine to become a professional athlete, to do that as kind of a career. And, you know, at the time and really still in the sport, there isn't a lot of money going around. It wasn't a viable thing for me to do long-term. And obviously, our bodies can kind of only do so much when we're competing at a high level. But point being, I had set this goal and I had accomplished it. And what happened shortly after is a number of factors in my life caused the house to come crumbling down, essentially. So I was unable to perform at the same level that I had been. I was dealing with a lot of things, a lot of situations, a lot of issues. And my performance in sport decreased dramatically the following year. And essentially, my career as a professional was relatively short-lived. I was on the team for a couple of years, but my rookie season was by far my best year. And, you know, from there, I went through this really lost period of reinventing myself, of figuring out what it is that I actually wanted to do. And that journey is by no means over. It's certainly something that it's a path that I walk every day. But along that road, there were some key moments that I really had to understand how to navigate. And I think this is true regardless of where you are in life. When you make a big change from one situation to another, these are the type of questions and the type of environment that will pop up no matter what, right? So anytime you're making a big life transition, even if it's having a family, right? Starting a family or buying a house or anything that changes your situation from what it currently is to some new, undefined, unexperienced place, right? So I had to do some soul searching. I had to kind of change what my daily and weekly schedule looked like. You know, for many years, I basically focused on training, recovering, and going to bed, right? There wasn't a lot of wiggle room for how I spend my time. I wasn't trying to pursue any other goal at the time. And when you are in pursuit of one singular thing and then that thing changes, it leaves a massive void, right? So one of my most gifted books, I put this on a book list in a couple newsletters ago, is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I think it's really the best overall primer on how to form habits and change behaviors. It's super actionable. It's very simple to understand. And his framework works really well. But one of the key things of his, or pieces of his framework, is if you are trying to get rid of a bad habit, you can't simply get rid of the bad habit because it leaves a void. What you need to do is replace that bad habit with something. So leaving a void where an old behavior was and not filling that void will simply replace it with another potentially equally bad behavior. So when we're trying to change the way that we act or change what we do, when we get rid of something, we have to put something positive in its place. We have to create a new routine that allows us to avoid that old behavior. And so to take this back to my career as an athlete, I basically had left this massive void in how I spend my time every day. I, you know, was still training because I enjoyed it. And mentally, that's a whole different discussion that we can have. But, you know, I was still working out, but I wasn't dedicating as much time to it, right? I wasn't, you know, training double sessions. I wasn't solely focused on recovery. I started to realize that I had a lot of other interests, a lot of other things that I wanted to pursue. I wanted to pursue some creative endeavors, which ultimately led to me now being a film producer. I wanted to help other people, but I didn't necessarily know what that looked like. I mean, obviously, I had been coaching the entire time that I was an athlete. So I had been working with a number of people over the years. I had private clients. I'd done a number of seminars. I'd been doing some mindset coaching. So there were things there that I wanted to continue to expand because I really enjoyed them. But I didn't necessarily know what that structure would look like. And, you know, there were all these other things that I thought I should be doing based on, you know, quote unquote, should be doing based on what I was seeing from what other people were turning into businesses, how other people were making money. And I started kind of scrambling, right? I started saying, okay, well, these people are doing all these things. I need to figure out how to do something similar, or I need to figure out, you know, my path or what that looks like. And really, I just started kind of drowning because I said yes to everything and I started stretching myself really thin. And this is something I still struggle with to some degree, is putting too much on my plate. I do this at buffets too. You know, I always go up and everything looks good. So I kind of pile a normal size portion of everything on. And then you get back to your seat and you realize that, you know, you might have messed up, that there's way too much food there. That was kind of what I was doing with every activity in my life, every pursuit. I was, you know, trying to put everything into it, but I was piling up things on my calendar and my time was starting to get run thin. And up until this point, I hadn't really done adequate work on myself from a mental standpoint or emotional standpoint. I hadn't really gone down that road enough to be able to balance things without it severely affecting everything else. And so I had to go through this multi-step process, and I want to kind of dive into each of these steps a little bit and explain what I learned from each of these and the things that went into it, the factors that went into these steps in this process, and how it worked for me. And if you're going through a similar transition, or you're, you know, changing jobs, careers, if you're moving, there are pieces of these elements and this framework that will help you regardless, because all change brings with it a similar amount of stress when we endure it. And so the first thing is, I had to stop looking at just purely my goals and the things that I thought I wanted to accomplish. And I had to look at things in terms of identity. So this was kind of the biggest anchor for all of these understandings that I came to, which was, who do I want to be in the future? Not what do I want to do? What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to have? All that stuff. That's secondary. Primary is, who do you want to be? And what type of person is that? So I started thinking about, you know, my mission or my why, or what was driving me to want the things that I wanted. And a big part of that was realizing that I wanted to help people, and not just help people, because that's a very general concept. But I am and have always been obsessed with human potential. As human beings, we can do incredible things. You know, you see stories of one particular thing sticks out to me. And it was, there was a show called Stan Lee's, you know, Superhumans or whatever. It might have been on Netflix or it was on one of the streaming services. But basically, it was real life people who had these seemingly crazy superpowers. And there was this one guy in India who had observed monkeys and taught himself to climb like them. So this guy can literally scale walls, scale buildings. He's unbelievable because he's developed this capability from watching monkeys climb trees over the years. And it's such a weird example and such an obscure thing. But when I first saw that story, it really highlighted to me the potential capacity that all of us have to do incredible things. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, you know, in what situation you were born. We all have innate ability within us that needs to be unlocked by life experience. But that innate ability allows us to be the very best at a specific combination of things. Not everybody will be the best at one thing, at one activity, right? You know, if you talk about sports, right? Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron in the world of basketball, there aren't going to be many people of that caliber of play, right? And especially if you talk about people, you know, playing basketball as a child and then going through the elementary school system and high school and then ultimately playing in college. Each one of those steps cuts out the majority of people in that sport from moving on. Same with any other professional sport, with football, you know, whatever it may be. And so not everybody can be the best at those activities. But I do believe that there is an intersection of activity, an intersection of things in all of our lives that we are uniquely suited to be the best at. Now, you may not be the best writer, but maybe you're really good at writing, you're really good at film, and you're really inspirational. And that may allow you to create the number one inspirational YouTube channel in the world. You may be the best at that thing because you're combining all of your skills. And that's one very specific example. But my point is that all of us have that innate potential. The issue is a lot of us don't know how to realize it. And so for me, I came to the realization that a huge part of what drives me, what motivates me to get better myself, is to help people unlock that potential within them, whatever it may be. And so I had to start looking at, once I defined that identity, I had to look at what actions that I could take aligned with that goal. And furthermore, which actions that I may already be doing weren't aligned with that goal. I realized that I had spent far too long saying yes and packing my calendar, and so I needed to start saying no to situations that weren't serving me or that weren't serving that purpose. Now, from there, goal setting is something that, you know, I think we've all done. I was very type A in school, not when I was young, but older, you know, later on when I was older in high school and going into college. And, you know, so I was used to kind of setting goals, but the issue is, especially in the schooling system, a lot of the goals are kind of set for us, right? We're told, oh, you need to do well on this exam and the exam is on this date. So you're already given a goal and a measuring stick by which to judge your progress on that goal. When you get out into the real world, you have to start defining these things for yourself. And just creating goals is not enough. If it was enough, then everybody who set a New Year's resolution would accomplish that resolution, and we wouldn't have as many issues as we have where people say they want to accomplish something, but then you check in, you know, a week, a month later, or a couple months later, and they're no longer making progress. So out of necessity for myself, to serve myself, I created a system, and I call this the Lean List system. I have, you know, goal setting templates that are around this available on my website. I'm also currently finishing editing a book about this topic to kind of teach people this system and walk them through it. But essentially what it was for me was taking that identity and creating a big goal around that identity, some kind of far off in the future, lofty, scary goal. And that became, I separated it into red, yellow, and green. And so that was the red object, the thing that kind of stops you in your tracks, the thing that's difficult to think about accomplishing. Now, from there, the next step below is the yellow list, which is basically these are the stepping stones that get you closer to that red goal. So if your goal is to, you know, be an author, a successful author, if that's your identity, then you say, okay, cool, I know I need to write a book. So my red goal is to write a book. And you say, well, if I'm going to write a book, then I need to finish the first manuscript. And that means I need to finish, you know, X number of chapters. And then that means that I need to edit that book and submit it. And then see, you know, there are a lot of steps in that process. So while the red goal itself may be scary, if you break it down into its smaller pieces, it becomes a little bit more manageable. There's the, you know, the story about how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, you know, one bite at a time. And point being, it doesn't matter how lofty the goal is, as long as you understand how to break it down into smaller pieces. And then for me, there needed to be something that made all of this work. And part of this was influenced by a number of sources, but Atomic Habits was also a huge influence in this, where that yellow list needs something that's going to guarantee progress. And so the green list in this system is essentially daily and weekly habits that drive progress. So if your goal is to write a book and you know that along that process, you have to finish the manuscript, you have to write the chapters, you have to edit, your green list, one of those items would simply be write. Every day and every week, consistently, you want to write. And it's important to not be specific with amounts here, meaning I'm not putting write 3 pages or write 1 chapter. It doesn't matter what the quantity is. What matters is the consistency of the activity. So if you want to be a writer, write every day. It can be 1 sentence. It can be 1 word. It can be 1 page. It can be 1 chapter. Some days you're going to be more inspired than others. The point is that you're engaging in that activity on a regular basis. You're forcing yourself to do that thing. And this goes back to your identity. It's not so much that you want to get in shape. It's that you want to be the type of person who exercises. You want to be the type of person who's healthy. So if you point it all back to this identity, then that creates the daily motivation and discipline behind these habits and these actions. Because if you want to be that type of person, then you need to do the activities that that type of person would do. And in this case, that's daily writing or daily exercise or whatever it may be. So creating that system helped me just get a better sense of who I wanted to be and how I was able to get there or how I could get there. And then from there, you know, I had this system now, I had this framework, I knew what I needed to do, but there were times where I was still struggling to get things done. And this is where I started leveraging a very simple morning and nighttime ritual to organize myself and organize my days. And this method may not work perfectly for everybody, but this approach worked well for me, where at night I started doing something that I call a brain dump. So I take a notebook and I just write down all the thoughts that are in my head, outstanding things that I need to do, you know, all the type of stuff that when you put your head on the pillow, if it's kicking around in your brain, it'll keep you awake because you're ruminating on it. You're thinking about it. And so I'd write down all these thoughts, loose ends, tasks, all of these outstanding things. And that allowed me to at least, you know, clear my mind for the coming day. Now, from there, what I would do is after I had created this list, I would look at what are the important items that I need to tackle. And I would create a priority list for the next day. You know, all of the things that are applicable to the following day. Now, when I wake up in the morning, what I do is first and foremost, I always start with gratitude. I always start by expressing at least one thing that I'm grateful for. And for this, I think it's important to be specific. So, you know, you don't want to just say, oh, I'm grateful for my spouse or my significant other, or I'm grateful for my friends. Try to list a specific reason or specific thing that they did recently that makes you grateful for that person or that thing. The more specific you are, the more powerful the effect will be, because you're going to have a clearer picture in your mind. It's very easy to be like, oh, I care about this person. They're great. They're wonderful. Well, why are they wonderful? What specific thing have they done or do they continue to do that makes them special to you? And thinking about the specifics is important. So once I get through that, I take a look at that task list and now I'm prioritizing. So I pick 3 high priority targets, only 3. Sometimes it's even less than 3, but only 3. Because if you have a priority list of more than 3, then it's no longer a priority list, it's a list. So I take 3 items from my outstanding tasks and I kind of jot them down in order of importance. And now the most important thing that I can do once that priority list is down is start working on the hardest thing immediately. The goal is not to finish that task, because a lot of times the highest priority task is multifaceted. There's a lot of parts to it. It may be something that's difficult to get done right away. The point is not that you're going to finish that task. The point is that you're driving the behavior that you do hard things and you choose to work on hard tasks first. It also makes it much easier to get simpler things done later if you've already put in work on the hardest thing right away. So once you have that priority list set, you have those items listed out, start working on the hardest thing first, and that will give you momentum and help you make progress on the other things that you have to do. So now that I've prioritized, you can do all of these things, you can set up all of these systems, but if you never check in with yourself, then it's very easy to not know that you're on the right track, right? So we talked about a process of self-assessment a couple podcasts ago on the initial podcast. And this is where that self-assessment comes into play. So once you've created these systems and you've set all this stuff up, this is where it's important for you to regularly reflect and make sure that you are making progress towards the right things and that your actions are actually driving progress the way that you want. So once you've set up these systems, once you've done your lean list process, your red, yellow, green goals have been defined, your green habits have been defined. Once you've started implementing priority tasks in your morning and nighttime ritual, the key is you need to make sure that these things are still serving you properly and they're still working the way that you intend them to. And one thing to keep in mind, these systems work well for me because they're simple. I don't like spending 40 minutes doing a morning ritual, especially when I have to be up early and I don't have time to do these things. I'm not, some people will suggest, oh, get outside, get sun, walk around, do yoga, do this, do that. And when you add it all up, it's an hour of time in the morning that a lot of us just don't have the liberty to take. And so these systems are simple. They're meant to be done in a few minutes. The nighttime ritual, the brain dump, you can literally do it in 5 minutes before bed. You can set your priority list and practice gratitude 5 minutes in the morning. And that framework will set you up for success as long as you've taken time to define your goals and set everything up. So the idea is that it's not a huge time investment. The idea is that it's simple to do because it's quick. And last thing that I can encourage you to do is, once you've figured out who you want to be, you've created systems to get there, find a community or communities of like-minded individuals. Interact with other people who are on the same path. Find people who support you in this endeavor. You know, whether it's a gym community like we have at Invictus Boston, whether it's an online community of people who are, you know, creators who are building things and you guys are talking about these struggles together. You know, when we can leverage that social support and that community motivation, it goes a long way. And if you can find people who are on the same journey, on the same path, or who want the same things, it'll make it much more likely that you will also accomplish the things that you've set out for yourself. So, you know, if you're making any major life changes, if you're reinventing yourself, or if you're just struggling and lost like I was for a period of time, this system has worked really well for me, and I hope it works for you. So kind of to recap the process, first, define your future identity. Who do you want to be and why do you want to be that person? And then think about the type of activities that that type of person would engage in. From there, look at your current actions. What are you doing that is in alignment with that identity? And what are you doing that isn't in alignment with that identity? After that, use a goal setting system and a system of creating habits that lay everything out so you know exactly what you need to do. Now, you can use my system, and I think it's really simple, but if something else works better for you, that's fine. The point is, write it down, define what you want to accomplish, and create the steps to get there. And then once you've done that, I highly encourage you to create this framework to bookend your day, this morning and this nighttime ritual, where at night you're emptying your brain, you're writing everything down. The following morning, you're organizing your day, you're prioritizing your tasks, and whatever you do, just make progress on that hardest thing first. You don't have to finish it. It doesn't need to be crazy. You just need to start, because if you work towards hard things right away, it makes all the easier things kind of follow suit. It makes it much easier to accomplish those things also. And last but not least, leverage the power of community. Find people who are like-minded, who are pursuing similar things, who are going to support you, because it's much easier to go this journey with other people than to go it alone. So again, I hope this system helps you. It's helped me a lot. This is kind of the framework that I've used as I've, you know, changed my path in life and tried to accomplish new things. And, you know, full disclosure, I've failed at many things. I've failed at many pursuits. It's not something that I've quote unquote figured out. It's just, this has helped me on the journey that I'm on. And I hope that by sharing it with you, it helps you as well. So as always, guys, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, I appreciate all of you and I'll catch you on the next one.